Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. He's brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Good morning, Michael. How are you, sir?
Morning, Mike.
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
Oh, we're all fired up. It's playoff week, and the Bears are in, and they backed in, but they're in, and now they head down to New Orleans, and we know that that home field doesn't mean what it once did, certainly not in a pandemic season. Do you give them more than a puncher's chance, or do you just figure they're in the game? Maybe they got a chance?
Well, I think anybody's got a chance. Single elimination. We've seen crazier things happen. I can't rule out any of the underdogs winning this weekend. It's not going to be an easy path, though. The offense has gotten better. The defense has been better in the past than it's been recently. If Alvin Kamara isn't able to play for the Saints, and he's eligible to come back on Sunday from his COVID-19 diagnosis. If the game had been set for Saturday, he would not have been available at all. But how do you just throw a guy onto the field when he hasn't been around the team for a week and a half and hasn't practiced? What kind of a shape is he in? How prepared is he really? Mental reps only take you so far. So I think that's an issue that could create an opening for the Bears. And, you know, anytime in these playoff games, when you're the higher-seeded team, and we've never seen a 2-7 before, so we don't know how that's going to play out. When you're the team that any other year would be home that week, I don't know. Does it open the door for the seven seed to come in and maybe throw a few uppercuts early and get the favorite on the ropes? And then you don't have fans there, which is a factor in it. And if they do have fans, it's not going to be many. I don't rule it out, but it's not going to be easy. You're going to have very good quarterback play, obviously. The offense is going to have to hold up its end of the bargain, and the defense can't wilt under the pressure that inevitably is coming from the Saints. The other wild card, too, is Michael Thomas is coming off of injured reserve potentially this week. Will he be able to play? Will that make a difference? There's a lot of factors that go into it. But yeah, there's a path to an outcome where the Bears score more points than the Saints.
Mike, you're familiar with the ongoing conversation in Chicago about the futures of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and even Mitch Trubisky to a lesser degree, perhaps. But what value does being the seventh seed in a seven-team expanded playoff field have on maybe evaluating those futures? Does it? How much weight do you give it when you're deciding whether or not to, you know, give Ryan Pace another year or maybe even Matt Nagy, who seems to be safer?
It's funny. Last year, when the conversation began to emerge of expanding the playoffs, I think it was around the combine, because the world turned upside down after the combine. At the combine, we started asking the coaches we were interviewing what they thought about it, and no one complained about it, because for any coach, another opportunity, another spot at the table, another chance to get to the postseason, that's something that can help you save your job. Yes, there's one more ticket, and we'll go get it. And if I get that playoff berth, then I don't have to worry about getting fired. So I think it helps Matt Nagy. It helps Ryan Pace. The other side of the coin, though, is if you don't make it in an expanded field, it's even more pronounced that you failed because they're giving out more tickets and you still weren't good enough to get one. But at least from the Bears' perspective, they were good enough to get one. Even at 8-8, they got one. And I think that does save the day. And who knows? You can't rule out an unpredictable decision. Most of the coaching decisions made at the end of the season fall in line with what we thought. This one, I think, at this point would be unexpected given the turnaround. But I think they'll be back. And two playoff appearances in 3 years. I mean, how under what warped standard of measurement would you fire a head coach who's made it to the playoffs twice in 3 years?
Mike, I'm fascinated at the idea of kind of the NFL indoctrination process now that Nickelodeon is involved, using SpongeBob to create a new group of fans. I'm not gonna risk missing a playoff game, but I do want to tape it and go back and just see what this thing is all about. Do you have any idea how you do a football broadcast for children?
Yeah, I have no idea, and I thought the Madden game was the primary indoctrination tool, and I know if Madden had been around when I was 10 years old, I never would have left the house. I didn't leave much anyway, but I never would have left the house, right? I mean, we had three TV channels and Atari, for crying out loud. And I just remember anyone out there in their 50s who grew up in the 80s and had the Atari and the Intellivision football where the center and the nose tackle never actually moved. They were just there to create the appearance that there were more players on the field than there were. There was this quest for a football game that actually was fun to play. And I thought Madden would be it. I don't know what else you need. But to the extent the kids are watching Nickelodeon and they can weave in Nickelodeon elements and superimpose things on the field and make it fun that way, I can't see it hurting. I just don't know that from the standpoint of recruiting young kids to be interested in football, the Madden video game, I think, is the end-all be-all. And anything else is just, you know, what the hell, let's give it a shot and see if it works.
It'll be fascinating to see how it does work on Sunday. Mike, back to the coaching openings. Of all the vacancies, of all the guys interviewing, is there a surprise name you didn't expect to see or a surprise linking? When I look at Jason Garrett going to Los Angeles to interview with the Chargers, that raised an eyebrow. What about you? Do you look at the field and see anything that stands out?
Well, I think Garrett was the surprise, and, you know, it's a lot of the same names, and we see that every year. Not that it's the same names every year, but we're kind of conditioned to know who's going to be in the mix, because for 6 or 7 weeks before we get to the end of the season, when you're watching a Colts game, oh, Matt Eberflus is going to get some opportunities when the season ends. You watch a Bills game, oh, Brian Daboll is going to get some opportunities when the season ends. So one thing that I find a little surprising is that no one's interested in Josh McDaniels, apparently. I mean, you don't hear his name at all. And I know he jilted the Colts, and that may make teams a little gun-shy about flirting with him again. I look at it this way. He can't do it twice. I think the next time he takes a job in the NFL, he absolutely has taken that job because he knows that he left a team at the altar, and that's not going to fly twice. But there's a weird short-term focus in these coaching jobs. If you're with a team and you've got an established run of significant performance like McDaniels, but their offense wasn't very good this year, how does that disqualify you? Because the flip side is you'll see a team where all of a sudden the offense is great, and maybe it wasn't great before that. Well, we got to hire their offensive coordinator as a head coach. It really is a strange dynamic in what makes a finalist, and you're making significant decisions with a bunch of money tied to it, and there's a very, very short-term focus on the overall quality and accomplishments of the coach, and that surprises me. So I guess I'm surprised that McDaniels isn't. I understand why he isn't as hot as maybe he's been in the past, but it does kind of surprise me because the body of work is there. Just because they struggled offensively this year with no weapons and Cam Newton at quarterback when he was signed in late June with a limited training camp and no off-season program, I don't think Josh McDaniels all of a sudden has forgotten how to run offense.
Do we think of Doug Peterson's legacy any differently after that last game? I mean, he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, so he's going to be always remembered for that. But, man, the reaction to his decision to go with his third-string quarterback in a crucial moment has really been pretty he's been lambasted.
Well, and because we've seen tanking happen before, but it doesn't happen all the time, and it's not obvious when it happens. I think the Jaguars deliberately eased into Mike Glennon late in the year to ensure that they would nail down the first overall pick in the draft. Can I prove that? No, but that's part of the art of doing it. You can't admit to it. The first rule of Tank Club is don't talk about Tank Club, right? But with the Eagles, it was the most blatant example of it we've ever seen in prime time, in a game where last week their defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz was saying this is a no hat, no t-shirt game. We want to keep Washington from getting to the playoffs. Okay, fine. They're going to go for it. They're going to go for it. They're going to try to win the game. And I guess Peterson dropped some clues last week that Nate Sudfeld may play, but it wasn't enough to get anyone to say, oh, the line should move, or people shouldn't bet on the Eagles. I mean, that's the other angle to this. You've got people placing bets on games that they think teams are actually going to try to win. So I don't know what the NFL does about it. I know the Eagles are going to have a mess. They do have a mess externally and internally. There's a report in the Philadelphia Inquirer that a couple of defensive players had to be stopped from confronting Peterson during the game, and a couple of offensive players went to him and basically said, what gives? And, he did a bad job on the front end of getting people to understand what was coming, and they've done a bad job on the back end of cleaning it up. But what can they really do? If they come out and say, we deliberately tried to lose to enhance our draft status, I think the NFL would be on them like it was on the Patriots for Spygate and the Saints with Bountygate.
Mike, how surprised were you that John Elway decided to give up the GM title, move a little bit upstairs, and hire a general manager? And what does that say about the future for Vic Fangio?
Well, it's funny. They found a way to fire John Elway while making him think he was promoted. And I know that he was part of it, too. But you got to understand where the Broncos organization currently is. The team has been run by a three-person trust for the past 6 or 7 years. When Pat Bowlen's health began to decline, he had a plan for the trustees running the team while they decide which of his seven children would be the best suited to take over. And they have yet to get to that point yet. And I think that there eventually will be an impasse among the siblings, and they won't all sign off on it, and they're going to have to sell the team. But in this weird state of limbo that the team has been in, who's going to fire John Elway? Who's going to do anything about it? Hey, John Elway's got four straight losing seasons. Any other GM would be in serious danger of being fired. He got promoted. But I think it's more like a surrogate owner type of a role where, he takes a seat upstairs. The question is, how much will he truly delegate and entrust to whoever they hire? And who's going to want that job? Who's going to want to be basically GM light in Denver, reporting to John Elway, and having the possibility always there that John Elway's going to decide one day, hey, I'm just going to go in and I'm going to meddle around with what you've been doing, even though I'm not plugged in like I used to be with the scouting and watching film and studying everything in the NFL. So it could go sideways for the Broncos, but it needed to happen that he's not the GM anymore, because other than Peyton Manning, he's been unable to find a quarterback, and he's had a revolving door at coach, which tells me he's not making good decisions about who his coaches should be.
So we're sitting here in Chicago, and we're interested in what the Lions are doing and, just anything in the division. Gary Kubiak. What's with Gary Kubiak? He has now retired again after one season, and they did very well on offense in Minnesota. I don't know him very well, but that just, he's a reluctant coach, isn't he?
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. He had the health issue in Houston, and then he landed in Denver as the head coach, won the Super Bowl, retired surprisingly. That was the big shock after the 2016 season, kind of eased his way back in. And it was kind of like an Urban Meyer health issue thing. Can he really coach? Should he really be doing it? Should he be going full-time? And he tried it this year, and the indication is he's ready to move on. And now Mike Zimmer is going to be looking for yet another offensive coordinator. I tell you what, if I was hiring a coach, I would, in the NFL right now, I would always look for an offensive coach, because if you get a defensive coach and your team does well, your offensive coordinator is going to get hired by someone else to be a head coach. You get an offensive coordinator and your team does well. Look at the Saints. Dennis Allen never even gets mentioned. Dennis Allen should be in the mix for these jobs. I think teams look to hire offensive coaches. So I would hire an offensive coach. Otherwise, you're going to be plugging in new offensive coordinators all the time.
Great point.
Yeah, great stuff, Mike. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. Always a joy to talk to him. It's crazy, David. It's crazy.
And you know what? You keep hiring offensive coordinators. That's why there's six openings every year, because I think you're trying to get the whiz kid, hot assistant, and that's how teams make mistakes, by kind of falling in love with the candidate du jour, the candidate of the month. Not always the smartest idea.
Let's take a moment. We'll talk to Dan and Layla next. Mully and Hahn, The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.